This is Brian Jenkins of Chosen 300 Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to join us on the web at www.chosen300.org, where you can learn about volunteer activities and also opportunities for giving. You can give by sending us a gift to Chosen 300 Ministries at P.O. Box 95, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, 19003. We also have an option for online giving right on our website at chosen300.org, and we also encourage you to designate your United Way or community giving gifts at your place of employment to Chosen 300 Ministries. This is a big help to our ongoing expense for our mission projects in Center City, Philadelphia. We want to thank you so much for joining to us today, and may God bless you and you enjoy today's message.
Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you can stop crying now. Get the other neighbor, make sure they understand the message. Say, neighbor, you can stop crying now. Come on, put your hands together one more time and thank God for his word. You can stop crying now. You know, all this week we have been focusing on the death and the suffering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I know it is a celebratory time for us because of the fact that if he had not died on the cross, we would not have life nor have the opportunity to have life more abundantly. But we also recognize that he had to go through some very difficult week, a difficult life. Isaiah says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He was whipped. The flesh was literally ripped from his back. It talks about that he was torn. He was literally torn, and the flesh tore off of his body. There was a crown of thorns that was placed upon his head, and blood just streamed down, and they pierced him in the side with a spear. They put nails in his hands and nails in his feet. And when we think about the awesomeness of his death, we can understand what the disciples were dealing with when they saw him die. They were sorrowful. I mean, that is a challenging experience to see somebody that you love pass away. You know, this weekend actually marks the 20th year since my father died. And my wonderful niece Teresa is here. She was a little squat then. I was held in my arms. But he had passed away 20 years ago this weekend. And we celebrate what God had did in his life. But I remember, and it's a sorrowful experience to think about and remember him, because we miss him dearly. And the disciples and Mary and the women that were with him were sorrowful because of the fact Jesus had died. Jesus had died. And when you really think about and put yourself in their position, although all the things that Jesus had told them, their logical mindset simply said, Jesus is gone. That the one who raised Lazarus from the dead is gone. The one who fed the 5,000 is gone. The one who healed the sick and raised the dead, caused blinded eyes to open, he's gone. The one who walked with us and comforted us and was there with us and encouraged us, he's gone. The one who caused us to get a whole bunch of fish out of the sea in one moment after we had been fishing all day long, he's gone. The one who walked on water, he's gone. The one that was there with us and he walked with us and talked with us and told us that we were his own, the one that we follow, he's gone. And when you really think about the experience of what they were going through, they were really going through a situation, and it was a very sorrowful time in their life. In our text, as we read the first seven verses of the 20th chapter, it talks about the experience where Mary had gone to the tomb, and she went early to the tomb. But when she got to the tomb, the stone was rolled away. And inside, Jesus was not there. Jesus was not there. He was gone. He was gone. And as we look in this text, as you look down towards the first couple verses of our text, in verses 1 and 2 of the 20th chapter of John, it says, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene early, while it was yet dark, she went into the sepulcher to the tomb and see if the stone was taken away from the sepulcher. She runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. There are three things in this message today that we're going to deal with that can cause you to cry. Three things that causes you to cry. In these first two verses, the first thing that is evident is that causes you to cry is making false assumptions. Making false assumptions. You have to understand that Mary had went to the tomb. Mary went to the tomb, and they know that Jesus died on the cross and was laid in the tomb, but she looked in the tomb and Jesus wasn't there. But she had came to an automatic conclusion that somebody stole the body. She didn't think that anything positive had happened. They didn't think that anything that Jesus had said actually came true, but they just came to false assumptions to determine that Jesus' body was stolen. Many times in our lives, as we first face circumstances and difficulties in our life and trials, we always turn to look at the worst that things can be, instead of expecting the best of possibilities. You have to understand that we have to stop making negative assumptions for our own lives and start making positive commitments or positive possibilities happen in our lives. Yes, I might not have gotten that job that I applied for last week, but there's another one coming down next week that's going to be a whole lot better. Somebody's going to get this in a second. When you can start crying, you start holding your head down, when you start making false assumptions about the thing that seems negative, but you have to realize that God's got a blessing on the way. I didn't get the apartment that I applied for last week, but God's got something better for me next week. Somebody going to get this in a second. I might be going through debt right now, but I see the victory coming out of that thing, and I see something God's got for me better. I know that the relationship that I was in failed. The girlfriend that I had left me. The boyfriend that I left had left me. But in spite of that, you know what? God's got something better for me. I know I put my heart and my soul. Somebody needs this today. I put my heart and soul into this, in this career, and I thought it was what was meant for me. But God had something all the more better. Stop looking at your circumstance. Stop looking at the condition of your life and realize God's got something better for me. Just turn to your neighbor this morning and say, neighbor, God's got something better for me. I'm going to stop making negative assumptions about my life and realize God's got something better. I know I intended to go to this school, but you know what? God's got something better for me. I know I had this situation in my life and it seems difficult, but God's got something better for me. The scripture says, eyes have not seen, neither have ears heard, nor has it been revealed to the hearts of men what God has in store for those who love him. See, if you got that, you would be clapping, but let me break that to you real quickly. See, every time, you know what, sometimes I look in the refrigerator, and I look in the refrigerator, and there's nothing there, and I look at Shanday, did you go grocery shopping yet? She says, no, but it's at the store. You're going to get it. You're going to get it. See, you might not have it in your life right now, but it's in the store. You're going to get in and say, see, you don't see it right now. I know everybody's looking at you and say, oh, you don't got nothing. You'll never be nothing. Just say, don't worry about it. It's in store. See, because what happens if it's in store, that means it has access. And Isaiah said it this way, come and buy. You don't have to worry about any money. You don't have to worry about paying for me, but come by, come eat, come drink, because I got some stuff in store. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God's got some stuff in store for me. Come on, put those hands together and bless him today. I don't know about you. I'm going to stop making false assumptions about my life. I'm going to stop making false assumptions about everybody else, because God's got something better. Oh, somebody ought to say hallelujah. Come on, somebody ought to bless his name today. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not crying no more. I got something to be happy about, because I expect something from God. But in Philippians, the fourth chapter, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brother, don't worry about all that stuff, but thinks on things that are lovely, thinks on things that are true and honest and of good report. You have to realize, stop looking, making false assumptions about your life, but think good about your life. Hold your head up high and realize that you can make it. Somebody put your hands together and bless God. The first thing that will cause you to cry is making false assumptions. Well, what is the second thing? It's found in the 3rd through the 8th verse. I just want to read that real quickly. It says, Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple came to the sepulcher. And just to abbreviate verse 4 to 7, Mary told him what she saw. Verse 8, it says, then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. He saw and believed. Now, he did not believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. What they believed is what Mary had told them. Let me say that again. He didn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. He believed what Mary had told him. The second thing that will cause you to cry is believing what other people have told you. They told you that you would never make it, and you believe them, and it's causing you to cry. They told you that you would never be anything in life. You believed it, and now it's causing you to cry. They told you, I knew that I was in that same situation, and this is what happened to me. So what's going to happen to you? And it's causing you to cry. You have to stop believing what other people tell you and believe that God is going to work some things out in your life. I love sharing my testimony because, you know, everybody told me that I'd never make it. They've been telling me all my life I'd never make it. You're a boy from Tasker Projects, you'll never make it. You were a bastard child, nobody knew who your daddy was, you'll never make it. Your mama died when you was 5, you'll never make it. You was a foster child, you'll never make it. They always told me that I'd never make it. But how you like me now? I made it. And everything is all right because I didn't believe what other people told me. Every time they told me that I couldn't make it, it gave me a little bit more encouragement. It gave me a little bit more possibility because I stopped thinking about what other people have told me, and I got inside the Word of God and said, God's Word tells me that I can make it. God's Word tells me that I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. Just turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not thinking about what you say. I'm thinking about what God says about me. Come on, bless His name. Every time that you wake up in the morning, you ought to look in the mirror and say, I am somebody special. I'm somebody wonderful. Inside of that body is possibility. Inside of that body is potential. Inside of that body is a miracle that God has created. And that miracle is me. You got to believe that for yourself. Stop believing what other people tell you. Stop believing what statistics tell you. Stop believing what everybody else says. I don't care if you were in Penn State or the state pen. I don't care if you got a GED or a PhD. If God is on your side, the tick says you can make it, because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But the things that'll make you cry is believing what other people tell you. Well, what's the third thing? The third thing that will make you cry is found in verse 8 and 9. And when the other disciples saw it, they came first to the sepulcher and saw and believed. Verse 9, it says, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. I want to repeat that. For as of yet they knew not the scripture. The third thing that make you cry is not knowing God's word. It'll make you cry. Some of y'all listen to B.B. King talking about my baby done left me. You know, y'all crying the blues every day because of what other people told you, but you didn't look inside of God's word and see what it had to say. See in our text, in the 20th chapter, Jesus had risen from the dead. He had got up. He died. Yes, he did die. And yes, I know the story that he prayed in the garden till sweat like drops of blood came from his brow. He was tried in an unjust court. Yes, I know the story. They put nails in his hands and nails in his feet, a spear in his side. And he was there on that cross, and he cried. Yes, he says, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He did die. I believe that he died. But I'm glad today that he did rise up from the grave. But you have to understand that the scripture already foretold this. The scripture already foretold this. If we look at Psalms, the 16th chapter and the 10th verse, it says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." Now, although the gospel themselves, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, during the time of disciples and during the time of the resurrection, they were not completed and written, the disciples had knew what Jesus had said. We have the benefit of the book, but they had the benefit of his words. We look at John 2 and 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up." In Matthew 12 and 40, it says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." In Mark 8 and 31, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days he'll rise up again." Mark 14, 27 to 38, "And Jesus said unto them, And ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I go before you into Galilee." Jesus had already told them that he was going to rise. But Mary and the disciples looked at the circumstance and said, "It's over. It's over." But if they had just remembered the word, if they just had read the scripture, they would have been all right. See, a lot of the problems in our life, the reason why we're crying the blues, the why we're sad all the time, the reason why our head is down, because we don't know the scripture. See, we focus on traditions, but Mark said it this way, that the traditions that we have, the stereotypes that we have, the thoughts that we have in our society has literally made the word of God of none effect. But you have to get inside of God's word. What does God's word say about me? God's word says I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. And if it says that, then I believe it. I'm not concerned about what other people say. I'm not going to cry no more because Jesus is risen. I know it sounds kind of simple, and it almost sounds kind of just too plain that everything's going to be all right because Jesus is risen. You won't get this in a second. Because Jesus is risen, everything is going to be all right. Somebody didn't get that. You have to understand that when Jesus rose from the dead, the scripture says that he later ascended unto the heaven, and then what happened is that he sat down on the right hand of the Father. He sat down. Now, you have to understand that in the time of the kings, that when the king stood up, that means there was turmoil in the kingdom. That means there was problems in the kingdom. But when the king sat down, that meant that everything was going to be all right. That the kingdom was at peace. That situations, no matter how difficult they seem, that everything was going to be all right. I want to let you know that Jesus rose up from the dead and everything is going to be all right. I know that if we were talking about Buddha, we would have to give the benediction because Buddha died and he's still dead. If we were talking about Confucius, he died and he's still dead. If we were talking about Muhammad died and he's still dead. If we were talking about Hare Krishna, we would have to give the end of service because Hare Krishna died and he's still dead. But Jesus died. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. He says, "I conquered death, hell, and the grave. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Sting, where, grave, where is thy victory?" He got up. But you got to get God's word inside of you. Don't worry about what other people are saying about you. Don't worry about what statistics say. And you know something? If you don't have anybody around you to encourage you, do like David said in the 30th chapter, 1 Samuel, in the 6th verse. He says, just take your hand on your own back and encourage your own self. Just get your hand back there and just encourage, baby. You can make it. I don't care what nobody, get your own hand and get it behind your own back and just, you can make it. Go ahead, get your hand, put it behind, encourage your own self and the Lord. And everything will be all right. You don't have to cry no more. You don't have to cry. You can stop the crying. You can stop the pity party. You can stop boo-hooing, choo-chooing, and doing all the things and spitting and all doing all that snotting and all that stuff. You have to realize Jesus got up. And since he got up, everything is all right. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together and bless Jesus. He got up. Come on, stand on your feet and just magnify him today. He got up with all power in his hands. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, bless your name. Come on, glory to your name. Oh, he got up. Oh, hallelujah. You know, the songwriter said it like this, that because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. And life is worth living just because he lives. You know, there's no other solution to life but understanding that Jesus got up from the grave. Don't you know the hardest thing possible? Doctors have not figured it out. Scientists cannot comprehend it, but they cannot comprehend how somebody was dead for 3 days and he got up. You're going to get this in 1 second. He got up. But you have to understand that is one of the most difficult things to accomplish. And if Jesus can get up from the grave, what circumstance in your life that you think you can't get up from? You can get up. You can get up. You can get up. Just lift your hands and say, I can get up. I don't care what you're going through today. I don't care how difficult it seems, but I can get up. I can rise above my circumstance. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, put those hands together and bless God for his word today. Oh, hallelujah. Let's take some moment just to praise him and magnify him. Oh, hallelujah. God, we thank you. Oh, on this Resurrection Sunday, I know some of you thought you was coming for grits, eggs, and Canadian bacon and home fries, but, you know, it was a trap set for you. You didn't know it, but it was a setup. We set you up. And we set you up because we knew that if we had some grits, we'd get you here. We really don't care about the grits. What we care about is your soul. And the story goes like this. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And Romans the 10th chapter and the 9th verse, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. That's God's promise to you today. This morning, that if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, this is the perfect opportunity. Just come on down. The price is right. It's been paid on Calvary. Get on down here right now and give your life to Jesus. Come on, come on, come on. I know you need to be saved. Come on, put those hands together and praise him right now. Some people are coming. Come on. Amen. Come on, come on, come on, come on down. There's somebody else. I know you're here. Come on. Come on down. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Where you at? Come on. Come on. It's your day. It's your day. It's your day. Come on. That's right. It's your day. Come on. Come on. It's your day. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. It's your day. It's your day. It's your day. Come on. Come on. Come on. It's your season. Come on. Experience the resurrection in your life. Come on. Come on, there's some more, there's some more. I know there's some more. Come on, come on, come on. That's it. Come on, come on, come on. That's it. Come on, come on, come on. It's your season. Yup, yup. That's it. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Put those hands together. Bless him. Come on, come on. It's your season. Come on now. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. It's your time. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. It's your day. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. It's your day. It's your day. Come on. Come on. I know there's more here. Shh. I know there's some more here. Come on. I know you're here. Come on. Everybody standing on your feet, because if I help you stand, that'll help you walk. Come on, just stand up real quick. I know somebody else is coming. This ain't it. There's some more people that need Jesus. Come on. Come on. Come on down. I'm waiting for you. See, I got a Savior with your name on it, and all you got to do is come. Come on. There's no reason for you to leave out of this place unsaved, unchurched, and unsure. You need to come. Come on, come on now, come on. There's another one. Come on, put those hands together. Come on, there's another one. I know you're here. I know you're here. Come on, come on, come on, come on. That's right, come on, come on. It's your day, come on, come on. Woo! Come on, it's your day. I'm waiting for you. Come on. Hallelujah, come on, come on. Yup, that's another one. Come on, come on up, come on up, come on, come on. Come on, it's your day. Oh, bless his name. Come on. Today is a day of salvation for you. Come on, right now. Right now, right now. Come on. Come on. Now, listen. I know there's some more people. I know some of you saying, preacher, you're getting kind of greedy here. I'm greedy for souls. But listen, right now, I want you to turn to your neighbor real quickly and say, neighbor, there's no reason for you to leave the same way that you came. I want to make sure, that you are not unchurched, unsaved, and unsure. Now, if you don't want to walk,
by yourself,
I'll walk with you. Come on, let's go. Come on, come on, come on, come on. There's somebody here. Come on, I know it. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. It's your time. It's your season. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, I'm waiting for you. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, come on, go. Yep, I see somebody coming. Somebody's coming. Come on, come on, come on. That's right. Come on, come on. Oh, bless his name. Come on, come on. Oh, hallelujah. Today is your day. Oh, bless his name. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to your name.
Hallelujah.
Now, maybe you've already been saved, but you need a place to call your church. Not knocking anybody else's church, but I just think this is the best church anywhere. I really do. I love this place. There is no greater place to be than Chosen Three. I just really believe that. I know that every bullfrog praises his own pond, but I like this church. I like the idea that I can come in and dress any way I want to and know that everybody will like me regardless. I like the idea that we don't have to worry about somebody racking money out of your pocket. You just give as God has led you. I like the idea that we have a wonderful fellowship where black people, white people, Hispanic people, Asian people, and everybody can come. Now today, if you don't have a place to call your church, or you just know that you've been in a church that you haven't been growing in, and you want to come to a place where you want to receive God's word, it's your time. Come on down. Come on down. Come on. Come on. You're already saved, but you need a church. Come on. Come on. There's one. There's another. Come on. Come on. Anybody else? There's two. Come on. Anybody else? We just need a church. This is a great church. Come on. Come on. There's three. Come on. Anybody else? Four. Come on. Come on. Come on down. Come on down. This is your place. Anybody else? Come on. See, this is what I came for. So that people can be saved. People can be reconnected. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. We are glad that all of you came today. It was purpose that you would be here.
Hallelujah.
You thought you was coming for something else, but we are glad that you are here. You chose the right day to come. Today is your day of victory. Now, Jesus died for you. If you were the last person on earth, God would have sent his son just for you. He loves you that much. He doesn't care where you came from. He doesn't care what you've already done. Doesn't matter. He loves you. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. For you, for you, for you, for you. He died for you. And he says, all you have to do is confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and you will be saved. That's God's promise to you. Now, for those of you that are already part of a church, but you came today because you want to be part of this church, and we're happy to have you. And there's a prayer that we pray with all of us. It's called the Sinner's Prayer. It doesn't make you a bad person. It just simply says that because of Adam's disobedience, we were all destined to death because of his sin. But also, we have some committed sin that needs to be forgiven. And as we pray this prayer, we're simply asking God to forgive us and be the remedy for our soul. And he will come in and save your soul. Now, after you pray this prayer, you're going to go back with Sister Carrie. I know there's a lot of you, but she's going to take your time with you. There's some information that you need to fill out. After you fill that information out, make sure you come to New Congregants class. That is on the second and fourth Saturdays. Two classes you need to come through. And then after you complete those classes, we're going to get you ready to baptism. And I'm going to dunk you just like I dunked these other guys today. Because of the fact that we want to celebrate with you what Christ has done in your life. Just bow your heads and repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus, be my Lord and Savior in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I welcome you to live in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now just lift your hands and say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Come on, thank him. Thank him real quick. Thank you for saving me. Amen. You're going to follow Brother Dexter. He's going to take you to the back. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's put your hands together and thank God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, bless your name. Oh, hallelujah. God, we thank you. Come on, let's sing that. Yes. Oh, God, we thank you. Hallelujah. Come on, one more time. Yes. Everybody, yes. Hallelujah. Just meditate on the word for one moment. We don't have to cry no more because he's risen from the dead. God's presence is right here. I know breakfast is ready. I know that we're ready to eat. But God's presence, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is right here. Some of you have been crying a long time. Do me a favor, if you just want to be free today from it. One, receive God's word, but come on to this altar. I just want to lay hands on you real quickly, and you go back to your seat, and then we can get out of here and get to breakfast. But come on, come on. The altar is just open. Just come on down. I want to lay hands on you real quickly. Come on, come on, come on. God's presence.
Well, praise the Lord. We hope you enjoyed today's mission message for today. We encourage you once again to sow a seed of faith into this ministry. We are the ministry that is uniting the body of Christ to reach the world to help the homeless and less fortunate. We also encourage you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for our Sunday morning worship and breakfast. And again, any volunteer opportunity, they're located on the website at chosen300.org, where you can participate in helping the homeless and less fortunate. May God bless you and may heaven smile upon you.